It certainly is a privilege to have you guys on stage with us, and in many respects, you are long-standing citizens, stalwart citizens of the Cape Town Church, and so I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions as we reminisce and take a trip down memory lane this morning as to what it is that God has been doing here. And so we'll start with you, John. You and Arena were one of the first couples baptized here in the Cape Town Church. And certainly amazing to see how God has used you in the years that you've been here with the Cape Town Church. I know you spent many years up in Joburg as well, and we're just so grateful for your service. And put us on the scene. What was life like in those early days? Obviously, this was pre-94. We're talking here 1990, when it was still the apartheid years. What was life like in those early days of the church?
Well, I think first of all, we didn't have all this fancy stuff. This would have blown us away. Lights, these things. We met at a house in Ranisacht, and what many people forgot at that time, if memory serves me correct, that according to a statute of law, it was illegal to gather the way we were gathering. So our very first service, we walked in, here were white people, colored people, black people, and outside was a yellow car, not selling Ultramel custard. They were members of the state security police watching what was happening, because what we were doing and what the church was doing wasn't happening anywhere else. That the Word of God was bringing people from all walks of life in the South African context together in one room to worship God and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And it was amazing to be able to understand that a future South Africa where people could live together was never going to be decided in Parliament, but in church. Mm-hmm. And I think that blew Rena and I away. The other thing that really was profound and challenges me today in my own need to repent, that back then, we canceled appointments so we could be with the church people. We didn't miss church to go to appointments. We canceled those appointments, whether it was a business appointment, even with other family members, because we so much wanted to just be around the church. And so it was not unusual for people to call schools, to call family, to call bosses to say, sorry, I can't come to this appointment, I want to be a church. And that really profoundly impacted our lives. Just seeing this church just devoted to winning the world for Jesus in our lifetime.
Amen. Well, John, surely just so grateful for the energies and the years of service that you've given the Cape Town Church. Can we honor John and Arena and just what it is that God has done through them? Okay, now I'm going to turn to Cyril Stevens, and the shot that comes up on the screen right now is quite a candid one. I don't know how clear it is from where you're sitting, but Cyril is far left, right at the back there, along with Justin and Reinhardt. Let me just call those guys out as well. Cyril, what's amazing about your story is that you were baptized prior to the church planting in 1990. And what's so encouraging for me is how you waited until the church was planted before you took a job transfer here. And I just think I appreciate that kingdom-mindedness, that kingdom focus, that you weren't prepared to move to a city where there was no church that you could be a part of. And so just that's an honorable thing that I just see in your life. If you had to narrow it down, what is the one thing that has kept you going over the last 25 years?
Thanks, Paul. Difficult thing to narrow down to one thing, but if I have to pick one thing, it's that I have a profound sense of knowing that this is the truth, that that Jesus died for me, that, he forgave my sins, and that I can have eternity with him. And, you know, I have a profound sense of gratitude for the empty life from which God had saved me. And, you know, when times have been going tough, you know, I think the one thing that's kept me going was that it would be very, very difficult to have a conversation with God one day to explain or to justify how I gave up this to go back to a life of meaninglessness, to give up the sense of purpose, to give up the sense of mission, to go back to a chasing after the wind. Mm. And so that's the one thing. And the other thing that's closely allied to that is that, you know, I know that if I leave here, I could go to be even a lot worse than what I was before. Mm-hmm. And that thought really, really scares me. And so, yeah, that would be the one thing that keeps me going.
Amazing. Well, it's just incredible to see how God has continued to use you, and certainly respect you, Cyril, for the amount of years of service that you've given the Cape Town Church. And nothing is beyond you, whether it's getting the toilets ready before service or sweeping the foyer, serving as a head usher. It is an honor to serve in the kingdom alongside you. So can we honor Cyril as well for his years of service? Let's move on to Mr. Reinhard Moers, who has also been a stalwart citizen of the Cape Town Church over the years. That is an early pick in the early 90s. You can see that golf, the city golf, was certainly in fashion then. Even the white shirts tucked into the jeans leaves much to be desired as well. But Reinhard, obviously you were also an early 90s conversion. What would you say has kept you faithful over the last two decades?
I can't believe that was me. I should go on a banting diet again. Paul, I must be honest with you. There was a stage when I wanted to give it up. Mm. And I think what kept me faithful is I looked over the edge and what I saw scared me. And I think I saw two things. I saw a life of religiosity. So I can either go back and say, well, I can, you know, I can sort of be the Sunday Christian, be a nice guy, or I can give it all up and, you know, live it up, you know, be in the world. And neither of those two led to anything. You know, it really just led to a meaningless abyss. And I think that scared me so much. And I thought, I can't give this up. Yeah. You know, this is the only meaningful life to live fully committed to Christ, to make Jesus Lord, and to live at 100%. Or not that we'll ever be perfect, but really to strive towards that. The rest is absolutely meaningless. Mm. I would say that's probably the one thing that really made sense to me.
Amazing. Well, sure. Appreciate your heartfelt response and really respect you and your faithfulness over the years, Reinhard. And thank you for your service to the Cape Town Church as well. And so, brothers, thank you. Can we give them a round of applause? You can make your way off.
Thank you, Paul.
I love you guys.
Love you. Love you guys. Appreciate that. Our second group that we're going to invite up are our guests that we flew in from out of town, who are certainly no strangers to the Cape Town Church. Justin, Renton, Ivan, Annemarie Buerta, why don't you make your way up on stage at this time? I already asked the gentleman for forgiveness for the photographs that we are flighting here this morning, but I couldn't resist the tutu that Jay was in. That was just one that we had to flight. You know, so. So just a bit of background. I know to some of you might not know who these three individuals are, but Justin was baptized in December of 1987, and it makes him just over 27 years as a disciple. He went into the ministry in 1991, and co-led the church with Anna Maria as singles between 1992 and 93. And Justin obviously married in 97, Irene, and then again from 2000 to 2007. So great to have you on stage with us this morning, Jay. I appreciate you guys making the trip. Iva was baptized in January of 1993. September 1990. Oh, I hope he's got these dates right. Huh? Celebrating close on 25 years of discipleship. Yesterday is actually 2 weeks out to him celebrating 25 years as being a disciple. So on staff in Cape Town for 6 months in 93. Is that correct? Okay, gotcha. Then led the church again in 1996. And this time he was married to his beautiful wife, Anna Marie, celebrating 21 years of marriage this year. And Anna was baptized in 1990. Obviously, I mentioned co-led the church with Justin from 91 through 93. And then again with her hubby in 1996. So, Justin, why don't we start with you? Can you please? we just wanted a little bit more insight into your fashion sense in the 1990s. I don't know if you can see clearly there, but those are pleated pants that Jay's got on as well. So I wonder if you could shed some insight into your fashion sense in the 90s, Jay.
That was hot stuff back in the day, let me tell you, man.
You know, on Friday night, we had the opportunity to gather as men, and obviously the women had their Saturday morning program yesterday. And Jay got to share something really profound with us as men, and really what had kept him faithful over the 27 years. And I thought it a great opportunity for all of us to hear that. Someone who's been a disciple 27 years, there's something that drives them. And we gave him a 10 to 15 minute slot Friday. I asked him to try and condense that for us here this morning. So Jay, what did you say has kept you faithful over the last 27 years?
I mean, I still remember this. And it was actually 28 years ago, a few months ago, that I was studying the Bible. And the guys had sort of done a series of studies with me, Word and, you know, Jesus and Seeking God, and they were all very pleasant and what have you. And then they did Sin and Repentance with me. And I was not ready for that. I mean, I had not come from a religious background, and I remember thinking, this is, wow, they're asking me to change so much of my life. And so I actually came to the next Bible study to tell the guy, I'm actually, thank you, this has been pleasant up till now. These Bible studies have taken a nasty turn, you know. And so I just wanted to say thanks for, you know, for what we've done so far. And the guy who was studying the Bible with me said to me, okay, I tell you what, we got one more I want you to do before you leave. And it was the cross study. And I still remember today driving down Jansmuts Avenue in my mom's car away from that Bible study. And I remember the feeling of, I can't leave this. Now that I know what Jesus has done for me, now that I know the sacrifice, the blood that he spilled on the cross, the pain that he went through, how do I say, well, thanks, but I'm not interested. I just couldn't go there, you know. And I think what I shared with the brothers on Friday night is there've been a couple of times in these 27 years where you know, Christianity has just been hard. It's been hard to be faithful. It's been hard to be a disciple at different times, and every time it cycles back to that moment where I remember what Jesus did and the sacrifice he made and the commitment he showed me on the cross, and it gets back to, how would I quit? How would I explain this to Jesus one day? I mean, how would I stand in front of him in heaven one day and say, and he asked me, well, why did you give up? I mean, why did you not, you know, continue being a disciple? What were the reasons? And for me to sort of think, well, you know, the schedule was tough. You know, the sacrifice, I had to give, you know, this or that or some of the, you know, and it becomes meaningless when you try and put it in words in front of Jesus and to think that Jesus says, let me show you what's tough. And, you know, to maybe show his scars, to pull out and say, you see that in my hand? You see in my feet? That was tough for me. So I think, you know, those things always help me, I think, just to, and the passage that jumps to mind that, again, just, you know, ministers to my heart is Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. And so I think for me that just always resonates with my heart and helps me to want to stay fired up and on the mission till I die. So, that's what helps me.
Amen. Well, Jay, certainly appreciate your commitment to Jesus and all the way that you've served in the last 27 years. God has used you in a profound way to make an impact across Southern Africa. And it was Justin who helped study the Bible with me back on UJ, Rao, 16 years ago, and who asked me into the ministry 15 years ago. And it's amazing how God has used you to not only impact my life, but many lives around us. And so thank you for your commitment to Jesus, Jay. Amen. All right, do we have any singles sitting in the hall tonight? Well, not tonight, this morning, I should say. Feels like night. Obviously, it was so encouraging to discover that both Justin and Anna came down as singles to lead the Cape Town Church in the early years. And so I wanted to ask Anna, what was that like? You know, there's a pick of the staff. You know, what was it like when you co-led the church here as singles with marrieds in it? What was that like?
I think initially it was very scary because when I got baptized, Justin was leading the ministry in Pretoria. So here's my leader. And a year later, I went into the ministry. And 7 months of being in the ministry here in Cape Town, this was my first job. I came down to Cape Town to be in the ministry and... Mm. 7 months later, I got a phone call saying, you're now going to co-lead the church with Justin. So the scary was knowing, I had no idea what that meant. The comfort was we had a great friendship. So I think that really helped, just having a good friendship. Justin was a very spiritual guy already by then. So in many ways, he was my advice, my discipling partner, my friend. So we were able to work together very well with the friendship we had. But I do think the passage comes to mind in Timothy where it says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Right. And the truth, I never felt like people were looking down on me, but the same passage also continues saying, set an example in how you live, is what Paul told Timothy. And I think the whole church was just all about God. So it was really, I shared with the sisters yesterday, the humility of the members of the church. We were discipling married couples. I was 23. I have never had a kid. I didn't know about marriage. Most of these women were my mom's age. We were giving parenting advice. And I think the thing that was amazing is the people that...
I just want to say sorry up front. Okay. We now know much better than we did back then.
We might not repeat that. But I think what was amazing is people trusted that the sisters trusted I had a walk with God. And that anything they asked me wasn't from me, but that I was going to go get advice as well. So like what I told the sisters yesterday, it was just amazing. I learned so much through the questions and the advice that was sought because I had no idea. I didn't even have those questions myself. And so that helped me. And again, I want to say thank you to all the sisters for your humility. You saying, I don't care who you are, how old you are. If God said you'll be in my life, then I want to learn. And so I think it gave me a big respect for the truth of the Bible. That I didn't have to relate, I didn't have to understand. And I think just the whole thing of seeking advice, and that it's always available. So the humility of the church, the fun friendship we already had definitely helped, and just knowing that God's calling us, whether we're ready or not, and he'll raise us up and work with us.
Wonderful, fantastic. Certainly inspiring to see how, as singles, you can live out your lives devoted to God and even lead a church. And that certainly is an upward call to us as singles. God can continue to do great things. And so just appreciate your guys' sacrifice in the early 90s. So, amen. Mr. Buerta. Before we get into a more serious question... I'm just curious, who was your role model back then, especially with you sporting your mustache? I was just wondering. And, so we were sifting through the photographs, and obviously your mustache came up a few times, and it just reminded me of someone who I looked up to back in my childhood era, you know, So was it Magnum PI or Tom Selleck or what? Man, bro, you don't have to answer that one, huh? On a serious note, Ivor, certainly I've heard about your early days as a disciple. Your commitment and zeal back in the day were exemplary. There are stories of you not knowing where to sleep because you're out studying the Bible and hoping that the guy you're studying the Bible with will offer you a bed. Cycling through from Stellenbosch for midweeks. You know, I mean, just incredible commitment, incredible passion and faith. And so I wanted to ask you, what drove you or motivated you to go the extra mile in those early years?
Sure. First of all, I think that the thing back then was to be a Christian was lukewarm. Everybody wanted to be in the ministry. Everybody, from the youngest to the oldest, everybody wanted to be on staff and go on a mission team and just give up everything and go anywhere for Jesus. But me. That was the last thing I wanted to do. And so my first 3 years, 1990, 91, 92, pretty much, back then we had a weak list. So most of those first 3 years, I was on the weak list. So 1 foot in the kingdom and 1 foot in the world. And so the last thing I wanted to do was to be full-time on staff. But I think people like Reinhardt, John Muir, yeah, so I graduated from Stellenbosch on the wait list and moved into a flat with Justin, Gustav, Reinhardt, I think on the 1st of February of 93, and the 1st of October that year, I went on staff. So pretty much in 6 months' time, in the right household, changed my life. And so I started working at a gym here in Bellville and just loved Stellenbosch, and I had so many friends in Stellenbosch. That's where I got baptized. And so I knew I was not going to be able to afford a car for a long time. Eventually I got married into a car. The blue Golf, yeah. And I had a bicycle, so I cycled. I either cycled back after work to Stellenbosch, or sometimes if I was late, put my bike on the train, take a ride to Stellenbosch. And then I knew I didn't have a place to stay, so I had to find. I love Dutch rugby, and where there's a piece of grass in Stellenbosch, by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a Dutch rugby game going on. And so I had to find a game, in the game, make a friend with somebody, befriend him so much that he would offer me a place to stay. And that's how I studied the Bible with Ferdus. I'm not sure how many of you remember Ferdus. He had a single bed in his room, a desk, and a wardrobe, and I slept on a mattress on top of his wardrobe. So the room was too small. There was only enough space for me between that and the roof. And so I studied the Bible with him, and that was just what life was. You were willing to go anywhere, give up everything, and serve God.
Amen. Well, I just wanted to thank you for your years of service, Ivor. Certainly, coming into the ministry as a young intern, all three of you continue to remain heroes to me and to many of us in the faith. And so thank you for your years of service and what it is that you mean to us down here in the Cape Town Church. So can we give them another round of applause, please? Thank you. Amen. The last group that I'd like to invite up on stage are also no strangers. We flew in Vanna and Lisa Foss, as well as Jacques and Laura. So if I can ask the Foss and Jacques to come up on stage at this time, this will be our final group as we reminisce. Vanna says he's a little nervous about which photo is going to come on up. But you know, when your boss is in town, you tread lightly. So just a bit of background. Again, these guys are no strangers, but Vanna was baptized here in the January of 1993, went into the ministry in 1995, and served right up until 2012, a total of 17 years here in the full-time ministry. What an incredible record. Lisa was baptized in 92, went into the ministry in 97, married Vanna in 98, and served together through until 2012. And so you guys are certainly heroes for the church down here in Cape Town. And Jacques was baptized in the September of 2001, going on 14 years as a disciple, went into the ministry in 07 here in Cape Town, where he served for 6 years prior to heading up to Joburg for some additional training. We'll elaborate on that in a second here. So before we get into more serious notes here, Vanna.
I'm watching the screen.
I'm guessing the church here needs a bit of clarity. How long would you define the length of a year?
For the 1 year challenge.
No, it's just, I mean, you said you're going up for 12 months to Joburg for a year's worth of training in 2012, and now we're going on three. So, I mean, how would you define 1 year?
I would say sort of like God said, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So,
yeah, spiritual answer. Okay, spiritual answer. Amen. So, Van, on a more serious note, in your opinion, what were some defining moments? Oh, there's your pick, bro. What were some defining moments in the years that you served here that have shaped the Cape Town church for the better?
That's a tough question through so many years. I think in the denominational world, a minister would usually, the church would have a minister that would be with it till the day that either the minister dies or the church dies. And I think in the early years of Cape Town, I mean, we spun through leaders. In 93 was Justin and Anne-Marie. And 94 were the Vermarks. 95 was Reinhard and Jane. 96 was the Buertas. 97, the Muirs. 98, the Shebiobas. And 99, us. And then again a change in 2001 to the Rentons that was there for 6 years, and then us for about six as well. And I think those are usually times where churches go left or right. And I think, as Anne-Marie was sharing, the Cape Town church has just always had such a humble and supportive spirit whoever God put in their way to be able to lead them. And as I look back through that time, I think, man, it's crazy. Every single year, a new leader, new personality, new everything. And yet the church did tremendously well. I think as well, in 2003 was a rough time for our worldwide fellowship, and many of our churches hurt greatly through that time. And I think, again, it was just so encouraging being in Cape Town at that time and seeing so many churches in our fellowship take great hits and hurt greatly. And we went through our own challenges, certainly, but we hardly lost anyone that said, hey, I want to go. People said, hey, let's put our heads together. Let's figure out how we can do better, as God was disciplining us as a worldwide fellowship, really, mm-hmm. here in Cape Town as well. And I think I've always been just so incredibly proud. And then even, again, when the Rentons left, we stayed. We left. You guys came. The church at that point, I don't think, has ever even met you and Jackie. And yet have received you with open and welcome arms. And so I think from our side, we're just incredibly proud of who the church is, and that we can be a part of it, and that we get to be here today to share it with you guys.
So. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Vanna, and certainly your years here of service have been admirable. And just want to thank you for what it is that you've done for the Cape Town Church and all that you've become for Jackie and I. So in the last 3 years worth of discipling has been sorely needed, and grateful for you and our friendship, you know. So, amen. Lisa. You know, as I sit here and listen to the different answers, it's just so encouraging to hear the qualities that come out about the Cape Town Church. And one of those is family. I mean, for an organization to cycle through so many different leaders and still remain intact and close-knit is just a testimony to the relationships that are right here in this room this morning. And so with that commitment to family, I thought, what am I going to ask Lisa? She embodies commitment to family. And Lisa, how did you juggle your ministry responsibilities with raising three small children in the time that you served here? I mean, that's just, for the moms out there who are in that life phase right now, I thought we could get some encouragement from Lisa.
You know, I think anyone with young kids, it is just an absolute crazy phase. I feel like I think back and it can just be a blurry time. But I think what we really try to do is, and we made a decision early on, is other than God, you know, our family has to be first. And I commend Vanna for that. I think we really fought to keep good family rhythms in place. We made sure that when he got home, you know, when he entered the gate to our house, you know, work was done for now. And until the kids went to bed, no calls were answered. Or there's always emergency situations or another phone call you want to make. And we just said, you know, the kids have got to feel like we're there, we're present, we're there for them. And similar just with planning our weeks, I think making sure that they feel weekends is also about them. So every Saturday to do something with them. Other than having a lot of people in the house, we wanted them to see, obviously, disciples and us reaching out. But just to make sure that they felt like we were completely present for them. Another, I think, big decision for us was we decided that I wouldn't travel. I know Vanna traveled quite a bit, but that they felt like I was there. I know it took 14 years for me to go to my first conference, Wow. Which was a big thing for me last year. So, but I think we just really wanted them to have stability.
It's fantastic. And I certainly remember, you know, how you put family first with those conferences. And you'd fly up for those desired periods of time and then go because the girls were first. And it's just honorable how you prioritize family. I remember coming to Cape Town, and John Muir, in fact, said to me, he said, Cape Town is used to being led by a family, by a couple that puts their family first. And so I just appreciate that about you guys, you know. So, amen. Mr. Guinness, Jacques, like I mentioned, was converted in the early 2000s on UCT. And Jacques, I heard you share a couple of weeks back what drew you to the campus ministry back in those days. And I thought that'd be such a beautiful thing for you to share here for the Cape Town Church. What drew you to the UCT campus ministry back in the early 2000s?
Paul, great to be here. I think there was a combination of factors. On the one side, I grew up going to an Afrikaans school. Most of the guys that went to the high school that I went to and Cape Town CBD ended up going to Stellenbosch. So almost in Stellenbosch was a bigger Afrikaans school. So going to UCT was a little bit of a shock to the system. And I think even that decision, I didn't know it at the time, but looking back in the rearview mirror, God was definitely at work. And then moved into, got invited out to a Bible discussion by Justin just walking across campus, and he just said, would you like to come? Ended up going. And when I got there, there was just such an incredible sense of family. And these were people from all races, from all nations. Again, coming from a very conservative background, Afrikaans background, I definitely wasn't used to that. And the church that I went to also wasn't used to that at all. So I think the relationships, the family, and people actually seemed to know one another, like one another, love being around one another. And it wasn't just sort of a, you know, we go to a Bible discussion on campus church on Sunday. It was like every day these guys were doing life together. So I think that on the one hand was great. And then on the other hand, again, the church background that I came up, came from, was church wasn't really very inspiring, and no one was willing to lay down their life for it. That's for sure. And yet, bumping into disciples on campus for the first time, these are ordinary men and women, but yet had such an extraordinary love for God and commitment, and that I've never seen. They knew their Bibles, felt convicted about their Bibles, and were literally willing to do whatever it took. So I think those two things combined was remarkable, and I think inspired me so much, and I thought, man, I got to be part. So I studied the Bible, and 2 months later got baptized. So.
Phenomenal. Very encouraging. And I think what you described about the diversity, the cross-cultural relationships, I think something that we've always celebrated as a family of churches is that. And being able to come together and sing in Xhosa, Afrikaans, English, it's amazing to see that, that's what drew you to be a part of the campus ministry in the early 2000s. And so for those of you who don't know, Jacques and Laura currently lead the campus ministries up in Joburg and are doing a phenomenal job. And so Jacques, appreciate you and your service and the years that you gave the Cape Town Church down here. You know, so
thank you.
Thank you, brother. Love you guys, man. Amen. Amen. Well, we in many respects are drawing to the close of our celebratory service here, and the goal of this was just to take us a trip down memory lane. And there are so many memories, so many relationships to be honored here that we just wanted you to reminisce with what it is that God has been doing here. You know, the theme of our celebration this morning has been 25 years of changing lives. But the million-dollar question we've got to be asking ourselves is, who has been the one affecting that change? God. God has been the one. And we're actually celebrating this morning how God has powerfully and deliberately worked in all of our lives over the years. That's what we're celebrating here this morning. You know, now, I'm not sure what state of mind you came into the hall with this morning. Maybe you were just excited, a young Christian coming on in just to be with the family and to enjoy the festivities. But maybe you walked in here this morning a little discouraged. You've experienced a couple of disappointments in your Christian life, and you're not quite knowing how to feel about this morning because of the amount of people you've seen come and go. Maybe you're no longer a part of the church, and yet somehow something drew you back to celebrate with us this morning what God has done in your life and how it is that you form part of the Cape Town story. My encouragement to every single one of us is this: God is constantly at work helping us to change for the better. And I'm just going to share a scripture here for time's sake. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." And it's so incredible to see Paul's confidence here as he thinks about the Philippian church. He thinks about his relationship, his partnership with them. His confidence is this, in knowing that God works powerfully and deliberately inside all of them to bring them to completion in Christ. So irrespective of your history and where you've been at over the years, my encouragement to you this morning is this: God continues to work powerfully to change every single one of our lives. You might have walked in here reluctantly this morning, but God purposefully designed that. He put it on your heart because he continues to work in your heart and life. Even at times where you feel like, I just want to give up, God continues to be at work. He is faithful, and he is the one who will bring us to completion in Christ Jesus when we face him on the day of judgment. And so what do the next 25 years have in store for us? That's a great question, isn't it? Well, my confidence is in God, that He will bring us to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. For us to have the same courage and zeal that we started out with at first. To be committed to the family of God. To make Jesus Lord and priority over every area of our lives. God has called us to greatness. And I believe that the next 25 years are going to be even better than the previous 25 that we've experienced. I purposefully believe that because God continues to work powerfully in every single one of us to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." You might think, wow, God has done some incredible things in the last 25 years. Jesus remains the same. He can work miracles in your heart and in your life today and for the next 25 years to come. But it requires a mustard seed of faith. That's what it requires. And so my encouragement to you is this. As we celebrate 25 years of what it is that God has been doing right here in Cape Town, that we set our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who is continuously transforming us into the likeness of Jesus. So my charge to the church is this, to persevere and not to give up. Amen. Right now, what we're going to do is stand on up and pray. And then I'm going to invite James Lupperman on the stage for a little special thing that we're going to do here as a church. So why don't we stand on up and pray as a church together. Father, thank you so much for the way that you have purposely and powerfully worked in our lives to change us. Thank you for the way that you so intimately love us and care for us. Thank you so much for Jesus and the sacrifice that He made on the cross that has changed us, to help us to realize that we're called no longer to live for ourselves, but for you. God, I pray that you would lift our eyes to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, that you would inspire our hearts and increase our faith to dream dreams of what it is that you can continue to do in the next 25 years as a church here in Cape Town. God, we love you. Thank you that we can celebrate today your working in our hearts and lives. We love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.